Hey, I'm Josh Almonte, pitcher for the Vancouver Canadiens, and you're listening to C Plus Podcast.
Welcome back to the C Plus Podcast for the fifth and possibly final episode of this season. I'm Ben Steiner, alongside my co-host Nyla Donahoe, and we are recording this before the August 19th game against the Boise Hawks, the final one of this series, and we're here at the beautiful Nat Bailey Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, the last game of the second last homestand of the season here tonight, the Canadians trying to complete a three-game sweep. So far, so good, coming up with a couple of one-run victories and trying to keep their playoff hopes alive right now, four games back. And I mean, I think we're going to probably find out, will this team be able to contend after their series in Tri-City, which begins tomorrow night? That'll be a three-game set. Then they are back here for the majority of the season. Then they end the year in Everett. But I think we're going to find out a lot about the Canadiens' playoff chances when they go to Tri-City. And unfortunately, the trend is the home team has won every game in the nine games so far in the series. Canadiens winning six here, but losing three in Tri-City not that long ago. So we're going to find out, probably have a good idea by the end of Thursday, will they still be in contention?
I would fathom to say they won't be, just seeing how those games against Tri-City have gone this year. Of course, they looked so dominant in those two or three game sets here at home at the Nat Bailey Stadium, and then they go down to Tri-City and they just can't seem to get any offense. Their defense is putting out weird errors, and it's just the home team seems to have control between these two teams this year. So while I don't like to see it, it's probably going to spell the end of the Canadiens' playoff hopes down in Tri-City at this next series. Would you tend to agree?
Well, I guess the only good news is they're not coming in from Boise as they did last time around. And, you know, when you're spending basically a week in very, very hot, humid weather like Boise and Tri-City, you know, speaking with Rob Fay, the play-by-play announcer, he basically felt that the team was out of gas. And I think you saw that, only getting one run a game in Tri-City and losing some close ones along the way. So let's see if maybe they can ride the momentum, if they can maybe get a sweep here tonight against the Boise Hawks, who have been struggling some kind of awful on the road. I think they've only won five games on the road all season long. Who knows? If they can maybe complete a sweep here tonight, maybe get two out of three in Tri-City, then maybe they'll still be a pulse and they'll have seven of their final 10 at home, and who knows what can happen.
They've definitely still got a chance, but one thing that you do have to look out for is, well, Lansing, the one step up, they're in a bit more of a playoff race than the Canadiens are, and could they be taking some of the talent away from the Vancouver Canadiens?
You know, that's a really good question, and yeah, who knows how the Blue Jays organization is going to play it right now. Are they going to ride or die with the horses that brought them there, or are they going to maybe seek a little bit of help? I mean, you look at maybe an Adam Klopfenstein, Alec Manoah, those are two guys right off the top, maybe a Philip Clark, Trevor Schwecke, maybe a Tanner Morris. I look at guys in the bullpen. How about Luke Gillingham, who was outstanding in relief Saturday night, pitching three innings, and dealing with a guy on second to start every inning and getting the win, three-inning victory for him, getting his first Northwest League win. Grayson Huffman, he's been coming on as well. It seems like Huffman and Gillingham have kind of been the co-closers for the Canadiens, and they've been doing a nice job locking things down as of late. So, yeah, those are guys that could very well be on the way up to Lansing. So we don't know. But, yeah, Lansing has been turning it on as of late, and it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. But if the Canadiens can, you know, stranger things have happened. If they win two or three in Tri-City, then maybe they'll keep the band together and see if they can make a run at it.
Yeah, it'll definitely depend on how the Canadiens do against that Tri-City series, because if you say as if they come out well after that, then maybe they keep this team together and really try and make a push for the playoffs. But there are already some Canadians who have found their way up to Lansing. One of them, Yorman Rodriguez, he's been tearing it up in Advanced A. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, you know what? It's hard not to believe in coincidences. As soon as Yorman Rodriguez was brought up, Lansing really turned it on. And I believe they're only three games back in first place in the second half. So they're in a race with three other teams, but it's very closely bunched up. So so Jesse Goldberg-Strassler and the crew in Lansing, they should have a pretty exciting playoff run to end off. And who knows, they've been able to sneak in the playoffs before. It could very well happen for them again. So good to see them doing well. Otto Lopez, I believe, has had something like a 19-game hitting streak. No surprise after the way we saw him play here last year. Jake Brode, I believe, up to 13 home runs now. Just a whole bunch of guys from last year's team. Griffin Conine, of course. hitting home runs, striking out a fair bit.
As sluggers do.
Yeah. I mean, that's the trade-off, though. I mean, you get a tremendous power from Griffin Conine. So, yeah, there you are, really turning it on here in the month of August. So, who knows what's going to happen. And, you know, you look at the step down. I mean, going down to Bluefield, they're starting to kind of fade out of the race, too. Maybe we might see a player or two maybe come up from Bluefield. If nothing else, maybe just kind of get a little taste of the Northwest League before they head home for the offseason.
Could we see Ryan Sloniger again here?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if there's really a lot of room for him because you already have Brett Wright. You already have Philip Clark. I mean, Ryan Sloniger would definitely be a welcome addition, but I'm just wondering about the numbers game right now. And I think that's probably kind of the thing that kind of kept him not spending a lot of time here in Vancouver. But he was very impressive the 1 week or so that he was here. So who knows? Maybe a Miguel Giraldo. Maybe might get a late look at him. Who knows? But again, it's going to depend how things go with Bluefield and Lansing. So yeah, there could be still a few more roster changes in the offing.
Yeah, of course, Bluefield, they have 5 games to go until they're mathematically eliminated. I think they have about 10 games left in their season. I might be wrong on that. But they are definitely starting to slide. And they're sort of in that jockeying for position as the Canadians are. So Lansing is probably, in my mind, going to be the one who benefits the most from these late season slides from both the rookie level and short season Northwest League Vancouver Canadians.
I guess, and speaking of roster moves anyway, Joey Polito is back in the fold with the Canadians. He was with the Lansing Lugnuts for really the majority of 2019. Also had a cameo in Buffalo as well, pitching a game there. But he was very impressive here last year. He did not give up an earned run at all here during his first in and got off to a good start. Made his 2019 season debut during the Spokane series with, I believe, a shutout inning or a 1 1/3 shutout inning. So good to have that extra support in the bullpen, which is starting to kind of round into form here over the last few days.
And he's a common face as well. He knows these parts well. He was part of the 2018 roster. So he's definitely a welcome addition to have Joey Polito back here for the Vancouver Canadiens. We look back a lot on the past years, and this will be the first time in a while that the Canadiens have, if they do miss the playoffs, missed the playoffs in 2 consecutive years. Looking at the 2019 team and comparing them to the 2018 team, what's better in 2019, or is it all worse?
Wow, that is a really good question. You know, I honestly felt on paper coming into 2019, I honestly thought this team was going to be better. I really thought this was going to be a very talented team. I mean, some of the stuff I read about the draft, a lot of people felt the Blue Jays did very well in the draft. You know, getting to see guys like Will Robertson or Tanner Morris. And I think Tanner Morris is really, he's really been stepping it up as the month of August has gone along. Will Robertson, he started the season in a funk, but he's been getting better as the season's gone on. And Trevor Schwecke, he's kind of tailed off as of late, but he was so strong for really the majority of the season. So, I mean, there were a lot of nice draft pieces coming in, but it just didn't come together in the first half. They turned it on late in the first half, and then they just kind of ran into a tough start again in the second half. Honestly, I kind of thought they were going to be a lot better than the 2018 team, but 2018, you know, I thought they outperformed what they were capable of.
And, I mean, in 2018, they missed the first place in the division in both halves by one game. So if you looked at the season as a whole, they were far and away the best team.
Yeah.
But because of the format in the Northwest League, they missed the playoffs. So
yeah,
I remember last year thinking, oh, this is a little bit of a dumb playoff system. And then this year I'm thinking, when the Canadians are struggling so much at the beginning of the year, I'm thinking, well, it's good we have the second half.
Yeah.
And they start winning at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
And then they sputter off at the start of the second half. It's like the club has become notorious for mistiming when they're good.
It's been a strange kind of season, but who knows what's going to happen. I mean, there's still what, two weeks left, and they can put together a really good finish. Who knows? They might squeak in as of yet.
Baseball can change on a dime, whether it's a game, a series, or even a playoff berth. So we'll have to wait and see before the Canadians are spelled their fate in stone for the 2019 season. So we've looked at players who could go up, looked at players who could go down, looked at players who could come up from Dunedin, or from Bluefield. What about some players who might not be back next year, at least?
You know, it's really hard to say. It really is. I mean, there's so many things that we're not really aware of how organizations judge players. You may look at a stat line and say, oh, there's no way he'll be back, but maybe the organization likes something else that he does You know, there's those hidden skills, you know, maybe, you know, like catching, like how they frame, how they work with pitchers. Are they a good teammate? I mean, there's just all sorts of factors. And you know, we really don't know. We have no idea. We're not working for a major league organization. We can kind of see what goes on in the periphery here in Vancouver, you know, but, you know, it's, there's just so many people who have input into a baseball player's future. So, I mean, I take for example, an example like Chris Hall, who was a reliever here in 2017, and I believe his ERA was below two. And yeah, the team let him go in 2018, and I did speak to a couple of his teammates off record, and they were very shocked that he was let go, and he had an outstanding season in Vancouver, but obviously the Blue Jays did not see a future for him. And last I heard, he was in independent ball. I'm not sure if he is still playing or not. So you just don't know. You have no idea what the team is thinking of a player. Yeah, you may think, oh, well, there's no way he'll be back or he'll be done. But you just don't know.
Yeah, you just don't know. And I guess that's really the answer, all the answer we can give when it comes to players being released. I've heard the name Brett Wright been thrown out there, that he might not be a guy that they see much of a future in for the future of his baseball career in the Blue Jays system. I do apologize for that. We record at the top of Section 5 here in Nat Bailey Stadium, and the sound system just went very loud for a second, so my audio might have cut out, but we are still here. And Niall, you've seen every game as the PA announcer here. Is there any game that is memorable or sticks out in your mind?
I think the first one that comes to mind immediately was Alek Manoah's debut here. He was absolutely outstanding. You know, it was really shades of Nate Pearson, and he was just very overpowering, you know, and I think the best is yet to come with him, and really nice young man. And, you know, he just embraces being part of the Blue Jays organization. He's just been great to deal with, and just a tremendous pitcher. And I'll tell you what, I would not want to step in the batter's box against him. I mean, he's 6 foot six. It seems like his wingspan, he almost seems like he could slap you in the face when he lets the baseball go. I mean, he's a very intimidating presence if you step into the batter's box. I think we're going to see a lot of great things from him, and he had an outstanding college career with West Virginia. And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's going to do. But, yeah, that's definitely the most memorable game. I thought, as well, speaking of Brett Wright, a home run that he hit against Everett, the third game of the second half, when Everett had taken the first two games to start the second half, and I felt if Everett had completed the sweep,
season were done.
I think the season was going to be over. And I thought, you know, it was basically down to the last strike, and Brett Wright kept the game going with his two-out, two-strike home run, and eventually the Seas were able to walk it off. And, you know, at least with that home run, I thought, you know, still kind of gives the Seas a bit of a fighting chance here heading into the final 2 weeks of the season. So, yeah, those are the two games for me that stand out.
And they do still have a fighting chance heading into this final game against Boise and then into the Tri-City Series. And, of course, as we've highlighted earlier in this episode, that Tri-City Series is really going to define how the Canadians see their outlook on the final week and a half, 2 weeks of the season. You were also here for the UBC Baseball Classic, which was an invitational tournament with Keio University from Japan, University of Tokyo, Sacramento State University, and the UBC Thunderbirds. The opening game was actually played here at the Nat Bailey Stadium, not out at UBC, and it was between the Thunderbirds and the University of Tokyo. You were here and watched that game. Yeah. Were there any things that stood out about the college game, the Japanese game, compared to the Blue Jays Canadians North American game?
Yeah, it was a real treat to see that, see a different style of baseball, and also how respectful the Japanese players are to their opponents and to their fans. The different deliveries that the Japanese pitchers were using, stretching out their leg, it always kind of reminded me of Bronson Arroyo, that long leg stretch, and you know, and their deliveries, and sometimes how they'll maybe hesitate before throwing the pitch. And also getting to see a no-hitter. That was the very first time I actually got to see a no-hitter, even though Tokyo did score two runs. But that was an interesting no-hitter, to say the least. Definitely two runs awesome. On no hits. But, you know, good on UBC and good on University of Tokyo putting on a nice show. And, of course, they had the last living member of the Vancouver Asahi team throw the opening pitch. And, yeah, it's just a nice night all around and a great night for baseball. And hopefully we'll see this event return again here to Vancouver. And I understand maybe they'll probably have another invitational again in Japan next year. So who knows, might see this again in a couple of years' time.
I would love to see it in Vancouver. And I was actually covering that Tuesday night game here at the Nat Bailey for the Canadian Baseball Network, and I did a feature on Kaie Kamanishi, the last remaining member of the Vancouver Asahi, that Japanese Canadian baseball team who basically fell apart when the Canadian government interned Japanese people during the Second World War.
Yep.
But it was just outstanding to be able to talk to him and really get a sense of what baseball means to both the Canadian and Japanese community. Of course, I also covered the series and the tournament out at UBC at their Tourmaline West Stadium. 500 people, but it's aluminum bleachers and was really exciting to watch. And you talked about the Japanese pitching. I thought they could be called for box sometimes because the pitchers will bring their leg up. They'll kind of pump their knee twice, make a kick, and then pause and then pitch.
Right.
And I was thinking throughout the week of watching them, that should be a balk. If a North American pitcher did that in the Northwest League, I think he's being called for a balk. Did you notice that, or did you think balk at any point?
I didn't consider that, but you know, it's interesting you bring that up. Of course, kind of bringing it back to one of the Blue Jays and also a man who pitched here in Vancouver, Patrick Murphy, had to kind of revamp his delivery because they thought it was an illegal delivery. I guess it kind of had to do with the toe tap and the dirt, so you had to revamp it a little bit. So, I didn't consider that at first, but yeah, I guess now when you think of it, that could have been, for sure.
Yeah. So I think that's probably it for Niall and I today. And for all our listeners, this could be the last podcast ever of the C's Plus podcast, at least of this season.
Yeah.
Or we might be able to continue them over the phone, but it'll be definitely the last podcast that we record side beside each other as I'm moving to Toronto on Saturday.
Yeah.
Niall will still be here. So if you want to hear his wonderful voice, you can come out to the Nat Bailey Stadium to hear him over the PA system. But I won't be here sitting at the top of Section 5 as I have been.
Well,
it's been a pleasure to be doing this podcast this season with you now.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for doing it. And to all of you guys, thanks for listening. And whether it's this season or next season, we'll be back.
Sounds good.